As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Trust in him. To hope in him. To find my consolation in him. To draw closer to him. Now, certainly we all have our preferences, but at the end of the day, our hope cannot be in one who occupies the White House, but the one who occupies heaven's house. For as our memory verse again tells us, God's way is perfect. God's word is tried, it's flawless, and he is our shield, he is our defense, he is our buckler when we take refuge in him. You know, we need a refuge, and God is that refuge because he is our buckler. Well, let's expand on trusting in God's way, God's word, and God's warfare. That outline isn't original with me, but I thought, boy, that's a good outline for this verse. God's way, God's word, and God's warfare. The psalmist says, again, God's way is perfect. Now, that's our first point, God's way. His actions are complete, they're sound, they're excellent, they're faultless, because his path, his way, is a way of light. And when you have light, scripturally speaking, you always have life. So often you read the light of life. It's a way of righteousness. God's way is perfect because it's a way of righteousness. Psalm 1:6, the way of the righteous will be blessed. It's a way of truth. Psalm 119:30, I have chosen the way of truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. It's a way of holiness. Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. What is the way to God? It's the way of holiness. It's a way that leads to life everlasting. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David prayed, and say it with me if you know what he prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What a way we have to look forward to. God's way is what we will eternally experience. It's a way of salvation. Acts 16:17. And so God's way is an excellent way. Again, God's way is perfect. It's an excellent way. It is also a new and living way. If you want to live, you walk in his way. Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And God preserves those who walk in his way. We see here in James 5, verse 20, it converts the sinner from the error of his ways and saves a soul from death. So might we delight to know God's way. We could say God's will. Might we say to God, teach me your ways. As Isaiah 2:3 says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Friends, can we all agree God's way is perfect? Even when, humanly speaking, things don't go the way we want them to go, when we don't understand what's happening around us, when we are walking, seeking to walk in his will, we are walking in his way, and his way is perfect. Well, we know that God's way is perfect because, and here's our second point, because God's word, which speaks of God's way, is tried. And what does that mean? Well, it means it's not found wanting. It's not found lacking. The word of the Lord is proven. This literally means it's tried in the fire, meaning it has stood all tests and has never failed those who pleaded it before its author. One thing that God wants us to do is take his promises, the promises that we find in his word, to him and say, God, this is what I'm claiming. I'm claiming your word. I'm claiming what your word says. And why can we do that successfully? Because it is tried. The word of the Lord has been proven true. And certainly God's word confirms this truth. For Scripture tells us God's word is sure. It's a sure prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. God's word is the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. God's word gives life. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His word gives salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is good. Hebrews 6:5, it gives comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. All these verses assure us that God's word will stand, Jeremiah 44:28. And so what is our response? What is to be our response to this word that is tried, that's sure, that gives life, that gives salvation, that's true, that's powerful, that's good, that gives comfort, that enables us to stand? What is to be our response to this flawless, abiding word? Well, we are to let the word of Christ richly dwell in us. What do you think that looks like? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16 tells us. If the word of God is dwelling in us richly, there's a passion for that. What is the one thing about dessert that really attracts us to it? It's rich, it's sweet. You know, our taste buds enjoy that. Well, look at the word of God as something rich, something sweet. It's sweeter than, what does Psalm 19 tell us? It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. So we're to let the word of Christ richly dwell in us. We are to grow. We are to digest this rich food, spiritual food, to the point where it grows us. It spiritually grows us. We should desire, as 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Hebrews 5:14 speaks about the meat of the word. We are to be doers of the word. James 1:23, we are to keep God's word. 1 John 2:5 tells us, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God manifested, seen. There's a beautiful correlation between us obeying God's word and us being a person, being a people who genuinely love. Obedience is marked by how much we love. If there's not a lot of love in your heart, there's probably not a lot of obedience going on in your heart. Does that make sense? You know, when we keep God's commandments because we love Him. We love Him. And keeping God's word means we do not deny God's name. Revelation 3:8, I know thy works, Christ said. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So needful for people everywhere to hear God's word, which necessitates God's people being proclaimers of God's word and preachers preaching God's word. Remember, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So Paul, David, and the others, I've quoted, could say, the word of the Lord is tried. It's proven. And they could do so from their own personal experience. And wasn't it God's word given to David that he would be the next king of Israel, along with many other promises, proven true? And we will see God's word proven true when we are surrendered to his perfect way, found in his proven word. When we are surrendered to his perfect way, found in his proven word. What certainly has been and continues to be an encouragement for me is when I get discouraged, when I get down, when I get disappointed, it really is amazing to me how nurturing and nourishing and encouraging God's word is to my spirit. I mean, whether it's election, whether it's Georgia football, I think it's healthy to be able to go back to God's word and let it be a calming effect on our soul. It brings us back to reality. It really does bring us back to the foot of the cross where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so how important it is to know God's way through God's word. We come now to our last point, and that is God is our warrior. He's the one who fights the battles for us. Knowing that God's word, which tells us of God's way, is tried and true, we are assured, and here's again our third point, that God is our warrior. What did David say to Goliath? The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. And so where do we see that? In verse 30, he is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Well, you say, well, what is a buckler? It can mean a round shield, kind of a smaller round shield, but generally it refers to any means of defense. Friends, God is our defense. God is our sure defense. Proverbs 2:7 tells us God is a buckler to them, a defense to them who walk uprightly, which means we can claim, therefore, verses like Psalm 91. And this is what I mean. Verses like Psalm 91 bring us back to God. They bring us back to the Lord. They bring us back to truth that we can lay hold of, that we can believe, that the way then we can walk. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy what? And thy buckler. God's way found in God's word becomes our shield. It becomes our buckler. You know these verses as well, Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. No matter what happens, God is with us. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Does not that sound like a sure defense? Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What a beautiful promise. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Don't we need God to hold our hand? And when he holds our hand, he says, fear not, I will help thee. I need help right now. We need help. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Don't we need to let these verses of Scripture dwell in us richly? Just reading these verses gives comfort to my heart. And then if you start to meditate upon them and start to digest them, looking at them as dessert, sweet milk, filet meat, amen? And so how encouraging in these difficult and even disappointing days to be able to take heart. Honestly, 2020 to me has just been a whirlwind of a year. But let me take in richly what Psalm 18:30 says. And I say, might you do the same. But as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So the question is, are you trusting in him? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, through the storms of life. Trust his way, his word, that reminds us that he is our warrior.